Welcome to the inaugural episode of Cartoon Cast.
Cartoons are great.
They're the best.
So my name's Micah.
I'm Christina.
And we are here to talk to you about our love of cartoons. It doesn't matter that we're adults.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
We think cartoons are great. And you know what? If there are some adults out there who are keeping this to yourselves, we're telling you it's okay, right, Christina?
It is okay. And if it's not okay, then there's something wrong with me and there's something wrong with Micah, because we both are into cartoons, and we are proud, damn it. We are proud.
We ship cartoons.
We ship cartoons. That is our tagline. We ship cartoons.
Okay, so I want to ask you, I think that this will be kind of a fun thought experiment, I guess. This will be a fun poll. So why don't we do what your favorite kid-focused show is and what your favorite adult-focused show is, and then why those are your favorites?
Okay, so I think my favorite kid-focused cartoon is The Amazing World of Gumball. I love that show so much because I love its mixed media. I love how the animation style works. I love how it's both the 2D, the 3D, using the real-life objects, using the internet. I just love it. I also love the family. I love that you never really know Darwin's backstory. You know that he was a fish. You know that at some point it's kind of clear that he was the pet fish and then grew legs and he's, you know, friends with them, but you don't really get the whole thing. I love that, like, the mom is a cat, the dad is a bunny. How does that work? You know, I love the family dynamics, and the little girl whoever does her voice, the little, you know, is that's the most precious voice in the entire world, who does Anna's voice. Like, she's so ridiculously cute.
I can't believe this. I'm going upstairs.
Stairs!
What are you doing?
And I love her character because she's so much like Lisa Simpson, which is like which is my like spirit animal. I was like 7 when The Simpsons premiered, and so I've always associated very much with Lisa. Plus, I would anyway. But she's, you know, she's so smart and she's so wise beyond her years. But then at the same time, she loves, you know, her certain things. She loves her dolls. She loves her dolly. And she likes, you know, her kids' cartoons and videos. And she's okay with that. Like, she doesn't try to be super grown up all the time. Like, she's clearly the smartest one there, but she's also allowed to just be a kid. Just the ridiculous nature of the show, how they just always manage to mess things up and kind of kill the world.
Yeah, every episode does seem to kind of focus on that, the latest way they're going to screw stuff up.
Yeah, and I love, you know, the town just kind of gaining, you know, this perspective. Like, I liked there was an episode where they figure out where the internet exists.
All right, dude, delete my video now or you're going offline.
I can't. Nothing can be deleted from the internet.
You have 5 seconds.
And the internet, like, lives down the street. It's where all these videos are. It's because Gumball was caught doing something embarrassing on the internet. And he's like, I have to destroy this. So they, you know, go through this ridiculous process of trying to find out where the internet lives. And then when you find out where the internet lives, like, it looks exactly like you would expect, you know, the internet to live. It's kind of the trope of, you know, somebody, you know, stuck in his basement, you know, not a lot of lights on. And a computer literally has every meme video and everything going on. And it's just really funny and really, really great. I think that it's a great show just for kids and adults. It doesn't try to be too preachy. It maybe has some lessons, but it's just fun. And fundamentally kind of shows the family just is always there for each other. I love how the mom will just go a little nuts sometimes. She's just like, I can't even deal with you people.
Space.
What? Where?
It was there, but it's gone now.
What is wrong with you? Why didn't you just tell us straight away?
I think is how a lot of moms probably feel. So that's my favorite kid show. And I think my favorite, at least right now, you know, show aimed at adults, there are two. So Bob's Burgers, which has been a longtime favorite of mine since it premiered, although it took a few episodes for me to get into it. I think that for me, it was the art crawl episode, the first season, that was the turning point. Mm-hmm. That's the episode where Megan Mullally guest stars and she's painting butts on everything. And there's something about Louise, who I think is, again, kind of like Honest, like, she's kind of like my spirit animal completely. Like, they're like the two halves of me as a kid. Like, Honest was like the prim and like precocious and wise beyond her years, but kind of quiet part. And then Louise was like the terror. And like, when I was in school, I was very much kind of OCD and like very much like a Lisa Simpson type. Mm-hmm. But then like on the weekends and at a drama camp and things like that, I was definitely, you know, a kid who got into a lot of trouble doing precocious things. So that episode where Louise, the art call episode, Louise convinces the neighbor kids to basically make art for her, you know, and she creates her own sweatshop, is like perfect because that's just so vintage Louise that she would just, oh baby, you know, come on, make art for mommy.
Oh, yes.
Can't make me proud. It's just so funny.
Glue that shell in the middle, Andy. What are you doing?
My hand is cramping up. I ate too much glue.
Andy, Ollie, come here. Listen, I'm pushing you because you've got talent, babies. And I'm gonna take care of you. Oh, you better believe it. But first, you gotta make some money for mommy.
Oh, I do love that. Now I'm recalling that part because the thing that sticks out the most is, of course, the anuses that are
yes.
painted on all of the animals. But now I remember where she's like, "Come on, Ben." They're all like, "I just want to eat. I'm really hungry and thirsty." Oh dear.
She's like, "Oh, come on, just make me some art. Just do it. It's so great." So I love Bob's Burgers, and I think that basically starting with that episode, the show really fit its groove, and I think it's one of the best shows and most like at this point one of the strongest shows on TV. It's a really good kind of mix of King of the Hill and The Simpsons, and I loved King of the Hill, especially, I mean, until it kind of got into the later seasons where it got bad. King of the Hill was one that it was a show I kind of discovered later in its life. I remembered watching it when it first aired and then not really paying attention, and then my husband's a big fan, and when we were dating we would watch reruns on Adult Swim, and I got really into it. And in many, many ways, you know, Gene Bolger is Bobby Hill.
I'm cold. My nipples are so pointy. Ding dong. It's for you.
He's just allowed to be gay. And a little bit more in tune with himself. I'm assuming Gene is gay. They've never really made that clear. It just seems like Gene's a gay kid, which I kind of love.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. His family loves him.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's something that I never picked up on, but it wasn't something I was necessarily looking for either. So that's,
yeah
that's really
interesting. I mean, they've had him have he had kind of like a girlfriend briefly, but if you think about it, just his whole thing. I mean,
he didn't really want her.
Yeah. and you know, he's great. But that whole show, I love the family dynamic. I love the humor. The voice acting is obviously fantastic.
Oh my gosh, the voice acting is so good.
Did you see Bob's Burgers live by chance?
No, but I heard you talking about it.
Yes.
So yeah, tell me more about that, because that sounded like a lot of fun, and it'd be interesting to see the voice actors like actually in person.
Yeah. So I mean, what they did is basically all the voice actors, you know, the actor that plays Gene, Eugene Merman, Kristen Schaal, who plays Louise, John, God, I can't think of his last name now, who plays Bob, obviously, and then the man who plays Linda, all were there, and they were doing, they each did like a stand-up comedy bit. Like they each did some of their own stand-up, like as themselves. And
okay.
It was very funny. And then after that, there was kind of a Q&A session led by Lauren Bacard, who's the co-creator of the show, with the cast, where they answered questions, and then they did a table read of an upcoming episode, so an episode that hadn't aired yet. And then I was fortunate enough, when I went and saw it in DC, is that the actor who plays Teddy, was also there, so he was able to be part of the table read.
Oh, fun!
And so that was really fun, and it was a cool thing because you got to see a little bit of the you know, H. John Benjamin, that was Bob, obviously, that was the name I was trying to think of. You know, you got to see all of them give their own personality, their own humor, because they're all comedians, mm-hmm. and do their own kind of stand-up. And then you got to kind of hear about how the show is made and how the personalities are working together. And then to see them do the table read together, sans any sort of animation or anything, was just really great. It was funny how you could kind of see how, you know, even though it's obviously a cartoon, visual medium, you know, the acting could make it, if they wanted to do it as like a radio play, could work too. You know, they were just so funny.
Yeah, I definitely dig Bob's Burgers too. It's probably not my absolute favorite adult show, but it is up there, and it's one that got me kind of like, it kind of made me realize, oh wow, Micah, you watch a lot of cartoons. And I was like, and I don't care.
what about you? What are your two favorites?
Okay, so when it comes to kids shows, when I was younger, it was definitely SpongeBob. And then I got a little bit older and I decided I didn't like SpongeBob anymore, so that went away. But as an adult, my favorite kid focus show is Uncle Grandpa.
Yes, it's so good. I love Uncle Grandpa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Uncle Grandpa, and that is obviously my terrible impression of Uncle Grandpa, but Uncle Grandpa is a show about this, like, well, see, this is part of why I love it. You just kind of get dropped into the madness and you just go along with what's happening. So Uncle Grandpa is this kind of fairy godmother type person, in that he goes and kids are in need. They need help, like, finishing their homework, or they need help with a bully, or they're, you know, coming to a new school and they don't know what to do. They're feeling sad. So they kind of like call on Uncle Grandpa. So he's kind of like half imaginary friend, half fairy godmother, half guardian, or I guess that's not half, that'd be thirds, third guardian angel, etc. And so his job is to kind of like make kids feel good. But the thing about him is he goes about it in quirky ways. And so, you know, you're kind of going along and you're seeing how he's pretty much like screwing up this person's life, this poor little kid's life. And then at the very end, it always turns out that like how he helped actually help the kid. So there was one episode that I remember probably more than others. And it was this little boy and he was going to be going to a new school and he was really worried about it. And so Uncle Grandpa was like, well, what can I do here to help you out with this new school? He's like, you need some fresh hair. So Uncle Grandpa like sprays his head. It's either spray or it's hair gel. But anyway, he puts on this stuff that makes the guy's hair come alive.
My pal Pizza Steve once karate'd a giant bear just because he was bored.
Uncle Grandpa, this is bad. Really bad. I can't make friends if my crazy hair keeps attacking people.
Let's try getting to the root of the problem and give you a little trim.
And it starts like ripping apart the cafeteria and picking people up and making them all afraid. And the kid's getting like super stressed out. And as he gets stressed out, his hair falls out, because that's what happens to some humans if they get stressed enough. And so Uncle Grandpa's like, yo, you've got to get really stressed out. That's the only way you're going to save all these kids. And he's like, great, I can make that happen. So he's like, you know, blood vessels are popping out of his forehead. And he's like getting more and more stressed. And it's Uncle Grandpa's like coaching him, like, do you see what you're doing? You're making all these people afraid of you, da 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 da, all of these things to make him feel stressed. Well, it turns out that the only way he can get stressed enough and defeat his hair beast is if he lets Uncle Grandpa pants him in front of the school cafeteria. So he's like, well, if I'm going to save all these people, then I guess that's what I have to do. So Uncle Grandpa pulls down his pants and his underwear gets shown, and he stresses out enough that all of his hair falls out. And everything is right in the world. And I just think that's funny, because it takes something that a lot of kids are really afraid of, and kind of something that I know people will have nightmares about, which is like being pantsless at school, and flips it on its head, because that is what saved all the kids. And in the end, the kids were like, yo, you're actually like a super cool dude, and we think you're great, even though your hair almost destroyed us. So I don't know, Uncle Grandpa, it's one of those shows that there's just so much hijinks involved and so much like, what the heck just happened? And it's okay. You just kind of like, you just have to ride with it. And you just have to accept that this universe is what it is, and that it's okay for these things to go the way that they go. Because otherwise, you're going to spend your whole time going, why am I watching this? And two, I like the dynamic between the characters, because there's Uncle Grandpa, who is the main character, and he's like this short guy with a big red mustache and a big nose. And then there's Mr. Gus, who is this big green dinosaur that's just kind of like the mopey character that walks around and is like, I don't like the world. Kind of like Eeyore. And then there's Pizza Steve. And Pizza Steve is a piece of pizza that wears sunglasses and thinks he's hot shit. And he just walks around like he owns the place. And it's the voice of, oh goodness, one of the guys from Workaholics, I believe. It's Adam Devine.
Oh, Adam Devine. Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So he's in that, and he just has that super recognizable voice, and it just fits perfectly with this like smug, I'm better than everybody character.
Check out my killer abs in a matter of seconds. You too could have a thin washboard stomach like this.
But the funny thing is, most of the time he's not. So it's kind of like everyone just lets him believe that he's the greatest. And it's just like this kind of cute support thing. So yeah, that is my favorite kid show. Have you watched Uncle Grandpa yet?
I have. I haven't watched a ton of it, but I have seen it, and I very much enjoy it. I also like the Cartoon Network ads. featuring the kid who's very clearly from Atlanta, because you can hear a Southern accent, who dresses up like Uncle Grandpa, who does like some of the ads. That kid is adorable.
Those are so fun too. And I'm not ashamed to admit that there have been times where I'm like, okay, I need to figure out how I get on this thing. Because I think it goes with the app, if I'm not mistaken. Like if you download the Cartoon Network app, you can record those and then you might get posted in between episodes. Oh my gosh. I would love that. I'm that person who always tries to do impressions and just isn't that great at them. And everyone's like, yeah, Micah, that was a great impression. So as far as adult focused shows go, a lot of people will groan at me for this, but you know what? Who cares? I really like Futurama. I really like Futurama. Yeah. And the reason why. So I will give it.
Which era of Futurama? Because that's important.
Exactly. Yes. So it started whenever it first started out, and it was like 4-3. There are a few episodes in there that I really dig, but it's kind of like into the middle of the whole series of seasons. Yeah, we'll call it that. The whole chunk of seasons that I started to really like the show. And the reason why is because I think the show got smarter about being more inclusive and making less of the cheap jokes that are kind of like angled at sexism and all of those kinds of things. And is like, let's actually be funny in these different ways. And the thing, like one of the things that I will say I like about any comedy is where you go back and watch an episode, like The Office is probably hands down my favorite show. And I know that's not a cartoon, so I shouldn't be talking about it. But the point is, I will go back and watch an episode of that show. And even though I've seen each episode legitimately, literally, I promise you, 8 times, I will still pick up jokes that I haven't caught before. And the same thing goes for Futurama. It's like, oh my gosh, how did I miss that joke whenever they made it?
Oh, completely. No, The Simpsons is like that for me. I mean, The Simpsons is my all-time favorite adult show ever. Mm. But I didn't choose it for this purpose because I just feel like it transcends, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole thing. But yeah, no, I know what you mean. Futurama is one of those you can literally watch, you know, whether it's on DVD or Netflix or whatever, and like find a new angle.
Exactly. Yeah. Every time you watch, there's kind of something else to pick up on. And I like going back because later on, there's some more timey-wimey, time-travel-y stuff where you kind of go back and like look for Nibbler hiding under the chair and stuff like that. And I don't know. I like the show because of the way they kind of like tie in pseudoscience with a little bit of real, it's like a dash of real science that that Bill Nye would be proud of, and then mostly pseudoscience that you're like, okay, I can appreciate that the writer was like, we need to make this sound as real as we can and as logical as we can without it being both either real or logical.
Now we just reintroduce Calculon's programming to his body using science.
It's like magic, but with electricity.
And then just the dynamics between the characters, because, you know, Zoidberg is just like always trying to impress people and always trying
Poor
to.
Poor Zoidberg.
What's this? 2 meals in 1 week?
Gotcha!
Friends, help! A guinea pig tricked me!
I am not like a huge fan of the character that gets picked on by everybody. It always hurts my heart.
Mine too. Unless it's Meg on Family Guy and then like she kind of deserves it.
That one is kind of funny. What I like on. Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Jerry Gary. That breaks my heart every time.
Me too, except he loves it.
And
the great thing about that was, I will say, I know we're talking about cartoons, but that show is a cartoon. Like somebody like once like drew, I saw somebody who like drew kind of an animated version of that and made it like look like it was the Muppet Show. And like where all the characters were members of the Muppets, and then the one human was Rob Lowe, of course. but Parks and Rec has this sort of like weird quirky town stuff that is very much like Springfield. Like Springfield and like in Pawnee are basically the same in terms of like their rich history and ridiculousness. So
that's a really good point. Yeah.
But I do think that Parks and Rec, I loved how they ended Jerry Gary's character, Larry, by making him mayor and serve all those terms and then die very happily with his wife, Christie Brinkley, who never aged the entire time they were together. I thought that was great. So, yes. But I know what you mean. I typically don't like it either when there's like the one character that everybody hates on, but But Zoidberg, you know, he tries so hard.
That's the thing. Yeah, he's trying so hard to be loved by everybody, and it's always...
And then he's a monster. I mean, you know, you kind of understand why people are grossed out, because he's kind of gross.
He is. Yeah, he's gross, and then he's also a terrible doctor.
Female Leela's problem is purely medical. Soon she will drop her eggs, and they will hatch, and all will be well.
Exactly. He's this terrible doctor who eats trash and, like, has this weird, you know, like, mouth thing, and you're like, oh, you poor man, you know? But, yeah.
So I will say, you know, there are still a lot of problems with this show in terms of, so the Jamaican trope is a little still kind of ridiculous. But what I will say is, like, with Zap Brannigan.
Hurry, Leela. We don't have much time to begin repopulating Earth. I'll be waiting for you naked under this quesadilla.
So he is the womanizing, ridiculous...
He's Troy McClure, and originally, actually, the character was supposed to be voiced by Phil Hartman.
Interesting.
And Phil Hartman was, of course, tragically murdered. But that character was written with him in mind, because he was, you know, Troy McClure and Zaph Brannigan, who's fantastic. But he was supposed to be, you know, but it is. He's this very brash kind of, he's just, you know, womanizing superhero character, but so inept.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is, like, his little friend, is it Kip? Yeah.
Kip, yes.
He is like the smarts kind of behind this idiot, frankly. And so I like that, you know, whereas, you know, he says these terrible things that just make you roll your eyes, but they take it so far that you do roll your eyes. It's not like, oh, he's going out and he's being successful. No, he's actually scared of everything and lets everybody else, like, do everything.
He lets everybody else do it and then tries to take all the credit, you know.
So there's a lot of layers to this show that I think can kind of get passed on. And I think that is one of the things that applies to a lot of cartoons in general. That's where I kind of stand when it comes to, like, listen, I like cartoons, and I understand that, you know, for some people it's like, but you're not 12,
you're not,
so why
kid,
do you like
right.
cartoons?
So why do you like cartoons?
Because there's so much to gain from cartoons.
Well, and frankly, if you don't cry at the Futurama episode with the dog,
don't.
Like, if you don't cry at that episode,
oh my gosh.
I had Seymour till he was 3. That's when I knew him, and that's when I loved him. I'll never forget him.
Like, if you don't cry, then you're not human, frankly. Like, that is one of the
things.
Then
you're a Zoidberg.
Yeah, well, even Zoidberg would cry because, I mean, that episode is so sweet, you know, when, what was it, Fry's Lucky Clover or whatever? Like, the whole thing is just, oh my God. Like, that, just thinking about it, because that's the thing about Futurama. Like, it's the show where, like, you lose sight of the fact Fry, like, fell asleep, like, got sucked into, you know, this chamber, woke up, you know, 1,000 years later. And literally everything he knew, he gave up, you know. And but the rest of the world kept on living. His family kept on living. And, like, when they do it a few times in the series where they touch on those facts, you know, one with his dog, the one where I think, like, he has the repeat of the conversation with his mom, the one, you know, with his brother. Like, and I'm like getting teary eyed thinking about all of them. Like, you kind of realize, you're like, wow, this is pretty deep. You know, that this, you know, you focus on all the great things, the new adventures he's having, but, like, he literally gave up his whole life. Like, everything that happened beforehand, like, his family just, like, didn't know what happened to him.
And they had to keep on living. And I think, too, you know, that's where this show has surprised me in the past. Like, I can remember clearly, and I don't remember the exact episode, but I remember the feeling I had afterward where, you know, I was expecting it to go one way and kind of, like, end with a joke. And the writers were like, no, we're not ending with a joke today. Today we're going to end and we're going to make you think. And that's what I appreciate about this show that I think can kind of get lost in something like Family Guy or American Dad, where most of the time, that show is not really going to make
you
think.
No, I mean, I think that's kind of indicative of the Seth MacFarlane kind of range altogether, which is what's different from kind of the Matt Groening and you know, David X. Cohen and those sorts of people's rule of thought. You know, Seth MacFarlane, not that he's incapable of doing it, because I'm sure he is, but those shows just aren't about that. You know, I mean, they're pure humor. And I think early Family Guy has some of the funniest stuff ever. And later American Dad, actually, American Dad got funnier.
Really?
It was like the inverse. Yeah, like the first couple seasons of American Dad weren't that great. And then it was like they realized they had this gold mine with this character of Roger that they could just kind of do whatever they wanted with, and he's great.
I can't believe it. I treated them with nothing but respect and civility, and they want to stiff me?
Whoa, 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 what are you doing?
You don't mess with a man's dream.
Roger is incredible. And I mean, and that's the same. It goes there too. I guess if there's one character there that you can say has layers, that is Roger.
Roger. And they did do one interesting kind of thing with American Dad, I guess the last couple of seasons, where they sent Jeff off to space. So Jeff basically right. like, you know, got, because Roger like switched places with him at the last minute. And so Jeff is stuck, you know, with Shaq and in space. And in Haley, you know, his wife, she's trying to kind of move on with her life and things like that. And that's kind of an interesting, it's no Jurassic Bark, which is the episode of Futurama where Fry's dog is waiting for his return, which, oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah,
I think about
it's
it.
Such a sad episode.
But so good. You know, it's not anything of that level, but certainly it's a lot more, you know, layers and nuance than you would ever see on, say, Family Guy, which, you know.
That show, okay, I mean, I'm not going to be that person who's like, I have never watched that show and I'm turning my nose, because I have, and there have been times when I laugh. But when I, you know, if I'm going to like spend time watching a cartoon, I would rather spend time with one that does offer a little bit of time, you know, of material to chew on and stuff to think about. And Family Guy, for the most part, is not that.
No, so. It's not that. I mean, but I don't think it has to be. And I mean, I think what's interesting is that Futurama and Family Guy debuted at the exact same time, the same night even. And they're very different shows. Mm-hmm. You know, Family Guy, its first couple of seasons, you know, it was almost canceled twice. And I was in high school when it premiered, and I didn't really watch it, but I watched it a lot when I was in college over the internet. This was before they were even out on DVDs, and the show was canceled. And there was this episode that got spread around the various, this was even pre-BitTorrent because I'm old, some of the Kazaa-like services.
Oh, but completely legitimate ways, right, Christina, for the lawyers?
Oh, no. statute of limitations is up, and I will totally admit to pirating. Are you kidding me? No. I'm not even going to pretend, like, at all. There was this episode that, after it was canceled, one of the writers or the producers on the show actually uploaded to the internet, and it was When You Wish Upon a Weinstein.
Hi, my name's Max Weinstein. My car just broke down. May I use your phone?
Which was one of their best episodes, and actually one that made a very good point about religion. Uh-huh. And the whole idea was that Chris is stupid, and so Peter thinks that if he's Jewish, he'll do better. So he feels like he needs a Jew. And so they sing a song called I Need a Jew, and it's the lesson that he learns is actually like, your religion doesn't determine these other things, and you can, you know, have all these great things in your life and learn these lessons regardless of what you are. But if you want to convert, that's fine too, but they don't do it for those reasons. So it actually had a good moral center. And apparently even like the rabbinical like league approved of it and whatnot. But Fox wasn't going to air it. And the reason they weren't going to air it is because one of the lines in the song, and when they did end up releasing this on DVD, this was kept intact. But as far as I know, they've never actually aired the real lyrics either on Fox or on Cartoon Network or on TBS. One of the lines in the song was, even though they killed my lord, I need a Jew. And you can't say that on TV.
No. no.
You can't say that. So that's one of those things. There was also a 9/11 joke before 9/11. They made an Osama bin Laden reference before 9/11 on Family Guy that was cut.
Yeah. Didn't this get spread around? It was like Family Guy predicts it again or something like that.
Yeah, basically. Well, they did like keep it in when it originally aired. Then when they re-aired it, even now, they don't keep that scene in. But there is an unrated compilation disc that Fox sold, you know, that you could buy a number of years ago, which of course I bought, which included that episode with that scene intact. And really what that's really more poking fun of is the fact that many of us, including me when I was in high school, knew who Osama bin Laden was before September 11th. You know, it was kind of a known thing. So the show kind of gained this reputation, and it was one of the first times really since probably Rugrats that a show came back because of its success, both with online petitions and then with the success of DVD sales. Like when they finally released it on DVD, it sold so well that it got put back into production.
Wow.
And kind of gained, you know, this cult following, and it's still running today. So, you know, it was off the air for like 4 years, and then Fox brought it back, and it's been running for another 10. And it's definitely lost a lot of its luster, and it's definitely kind of become one of those shows you're like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And there are people like me who enjoy both but really love The Simpsons, who the Family Guy Simpsons crossover episode, there was a part of it that was funny, but there were just so many parts of that just made me cringe. The one part I laughed at was when they were in the courtroom and they were talking about, you know, there was a case over whether or not Pawtucket Patriot Ale was a ripoff of Duff.
I got a little something for you. Here you go. Pawtucket Patriot Ale. The best Quahog has to offer.
Down the hatch.
It's pretty good, right?
No, it's not good. This beer tastes exactly like Duff. It's just a lousy ripoff.
And the whole thing is meta-commentary on whether or not Family Guy is a ripoff of The Simpsons.
Right.
And in the courtroom, they have characters that are clearly caricatures of one another.
Next to one another.
So you have, like, the police chief, you know, Wiggum next to, you know, like, Joe. And you have the police chief there. Like, you have, like, I mean, it's just a hilarious kind of juxtaposition between all the different characters, you know, like a Dr. Nick with a versus, you know, the doctor on Family Guy. Like, it's just... It's so funny when you see them all side by side and you go, oh, this goes even deeper than I ever would have imagined. That was like the funniest part of the show. But of course, that was like a small amount. And instead, you know, they dedicated 15 minutes to, you know, the chicken fight, which was a really funny sequence when Family Guy originally aired. And then I think they just took that to its extreme. It's one of those things where, you know, your audience is probably... most of your audience is drunk and or high. But there's a certain point where you go, okay, you know what? Like, we don't need to have like literally like 5 minute sequences of just ridiculous fighting. Because the joke stops being funny. Like,
exactly.
We all know how it's going to end. We know how this is going to end. I mean, there's certain things where it'll go back to being funny again, and then they still keep it a beat too long. You're like, yep, missed it.
Yeah, because see, so that's interesting. Or I agree there. There are some times where it's like, I find re-referencing a bit more funny than I find like just continuing a bit going on. And
yes.
I mean that in everything. Like, you know, a movie where we've set up a bit at the beginning and we keep referencing it throughout. And it's like, oh gosh, they brought it back a sixth time. That's hilarious because it's so ridiculous. But yeah, you know, so this is kind of a very far stretch to make a comparison. But you talking about that long chicken fight reminded me of something. There is a song from Death Cab for Cutie called I Will Possess Your Heart.
Yes.
And at the beginning of that song, the one that's not the radio edit, it actually has this super long intro. And there's something about like having to sit through something to like
yes.
get to the part that you like that I actually like. And I don't know if it's
Same.
Some kind of like weird, I don't know what it is, but so that chicken fight, like I could have turned it off
well,
at any
time.
Because
you've listened to Plans 500,000 times, like all of us.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it's like, you know what? With that song, I'm going to listen to that all the way through because, well, there it's more because like it's how the artist intended it. And I guess technically it's how the writers and the illustrators intended it with Family Guy. But there's something about like, maybe I'm just like too hopeful. And I'm like, at one point, this is probably going to be funny. So I better watch the whole thing. And then no, it was funny whenever we watched the long fight that first. But like, why do we have to keep coming back to the chicken fight?
And excuse me, it wasn't Plans that I Will Possess Your Heart was on. That was I Will Follow You Into the Dark. Possess Your Heart is on Narrow Stairs.
Yes, good, because somebody would have come after us. So I'm
somebody would have come after us, and because I'm remembering this now because it's track two on Narrow Stairs. Yep.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
I know my death cab.
I promise we both know our death cab, whoever's listening. It was a mistake.
We both know it. I have to let people know. No, exactly. But no, I think it's funny, although there are certain throwbacks on Family Guy that do still make me laugh no matter how it goes, which was they did this thing for a couple of seasons where they for whatever would happen, they would just cut to Conway Twitty.
Yikes, I could use a distraction right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
I can almost hear the stillness.
I didn't even know who he was until Family Guy, and he would just start singing some sort of like song. And I don't know if they were running short on episode length or what their deal was, but they would just cut to him for like 90 seconds of him singing in live action. And it's like, I kind of love that sort of irreverence where it's just freaking weird.
Yes.
You're like, all right, you know what? That's great.
Yes, that is what I'm about whenever it comes to any kind of cartoon, because here's the deal. I think there's a part of me that just like, it's terrible, but there's a part of me that has like this, this hipster quality. It's like, you just don't understand this because you just don't get it. But I get it and I understand it. And so that's why, like, Uncle Grandpa, which literally makes no sense, I'm like, this is my favorite, because there's so much in there that you just kind of have to accept it as it is. And you just go, okay, yeah, this is good. This is what I signed up for. I can find joy and humor in this, and it's okay. And yeah, there are a lot of times where the Family Guy cutaways are just so bizarre and make no sense. And you just kind of go, all right, I'm here. I'm riding on this train and it's okay.
You're like, you know what? I can get down with this. Like, I'm like this. Okay, cool.
I think that there are fortunately and unfortunately for my time, a lot of good cartoons out there.
A ton of great cartoons. So many good ones, in fact, that I think we can do a whole podcast about it.
A whole podcast. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I think that, you know, you and I like cartoons enough that maybe we should talk about it every other week.
I love that idea. Two adults just talking about podcasts.
Yeah, two adults talking about cartoons and not giving two craps what people think about them watching cartoons. That sounds like a really good idea. All right. So, Christina, what cartoons have you been watching lately, or what's the most recent cartoon on your mind?
Rick and Morty.
Okay. Tell me more about Rick and Morty, because you've been trying to get me into this and I have yet to make it happen.
It's good. It's good. And it's a weird thing to kind of get into, but I know I love Rick and Morty. It's from the guy that created Community, and Dan Harmon and one of his friends, the Sarah Chalk, who I love from Scrubs. And a lot of other things, is a voice actress on it. She plays the mom. It's basically kind of, it's a great show. It's about this kind of crazy grandfather and his grandson. And Rick is the grandfather. Morty is his grandson. And they go on like time traveling adventures, interdimensional dimensions, like adventures together.
What the hell? What, where am I?
55 years. Not bad, Morty. You kind of wasted your 30s, though, with that whole bird-watching phase.
And the world, it's very funny. Chris Parnell is a voice. He plays the dad. It's very, very funny. Basically, you know, Rick, he's this genius father, and he had basically abandoned his family and kind of come back, you know, to kind of try to bond with his grandkids, and he's got all kinds of crazy things happening with him, but he is a total genius, and he will create these crazy adventures or these crazy inventions, and then they'll go into these interdimensional worlds and in these parallel universes, and weird things will happen. And so the whole thing is that a lot of times stuff just kind of gets messed up and doesn't even get resolved at the end, which I kind of love.
Ah, yes. And
it's weird, but it's really funny. Like there's an episode that I watched recently, I think from the first season, where he gets Morty a sex robot, and and Morty ends up getting it pregnant, and it ends up having this like this child who's like half like killer or something or another, half human, and you know he's like this 15-year-old kid who's trying to raise this terrible creature, and yet is still sort of in love with it, and it's kind of touching and weird. There's the more normal you know grandchild, Summer, who she's you know kind of a little bit older than Morty, and she's a little more superficial, but she's also very funny, and she's great because she and Rick the grandfather fight furiously and don't like each other, but it's a very great it's a great dynamic.
Now, does she go on the adventures with them?
She does sometimes, not as often, but she starts to in the second season to join them on more of their adventures. And awesome. It's a good show. It's really funny. It's bizarre as all get out.
I kind of like the idea of a relationship between a granddad and a grandson, as opposed to just like, you know, your next in kin or next of kin. I don't know. That seems interesting to me.
That's interesting. It's also interesting the fact that like Rick is a jerk. Like everybody knows it and everybody owns it and he owns it, you know, but like his daughter kind of can't stand him. He hates his son-in-law, Chris Parnell's character, who's kind of dumb but tries really hard. Oh, you know, no. Everybody just kind of puts up with him, and but yet these crazy things happen and the whole family just kind of deals with it, and it's great. It's really, really funny. And it's kind of a nice way to kind of, you know, mix in really surreal stuff happening. So it's kind of similar to The Amazing World of Gumball, and that a lot of times things will just end in chaos. Like, okay, you know? And I like that. I like that end of resolution.
I actually really do too. Sometimes it's nice to just be like, well, this is how it happened, and it's okay that it ended up that way. You don't have to have that nice little bow at the end of the package. So yeah, I think you've convinced me even more to check this out.
You gotta give it a shot. You know, it's two seasons are available now. It's just been renewed for a third season. It's funny, and it's got kind of a Back to the Future-ish quality to it, and it's, I like it. It's a good show.
All right. Well, I'll have to check in with you next time we talk and tell you what I think. So is it on Netflix? Can we watch it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's also on Hulu. And then it's on like adultswim.com. Awesome. They've got it in their app too.
Well, that is great. I am looking forward to checking out Rick and Morty.
What about you?
Right now, I just finished up. Clarence just finished its second season now?
I don't even know because they've done so many episodes. I love Clarence. Oh, my God.
So actually, according to CartoonNetwork.com, it was season one. It was the end of season one, episode 51. That is another thing that I like about cartoons is that they often have a crap ton of episodes, and so I get to keep watching forever and ever and ever and ever and never run out, and I feel good.
Especially a show like Clarence, which is, they're like 8 minute long episodes.
Yes, they're so short, and it's if you don't watch it like on, so I have DirecTV, and so most of the time I'll end up watching it
on demand.
Well, no, I'll end up watching it recorded.
Oh, on your DVR.
On my DVR, and seeing all those commercials, zooming through them, obviously, but even seeing them for that period of time, it's like, this episode seems so long. But then I ended up buying like the last few episodes on iTunes, and so it was so much shorter in that point, and I was like, but I want more Clarence. But anyway,
exactly.
So season one, episode 51, the finale of season one was called Spooky Boo, and I just finished watching that not too long ago, and it was a Halloween themed episode.
Welcome to Clarence the Gruesome's House of Frights and Screams and Fears and Stuff. Enter at your own risk.
And I found that one delightful because Clarence is dressed up as this little devil character and he's kind of trying to scare everybody, but nobody's paying him any mind.
Because he's Clarence.
Exactly. He's too adorable and sweet and kind to be scary at all. But what I found interesting was I was expecting Jeff to be just completely terrified of everything. And he actually had some semblance of bravery in this episode.
I love Jeff so much.
Jeff is probably one of my favorites. I can't quite say that he's my favorite, but
I love him, and I love his family. His moms are the best.
His moms. The episode, now getting a little off track here, but the episode where Clarence comes over to help his moms help Jeff like go to the bake-off is so good. I love
it's
that
so good. And I love about the flashbacks in that is that you see all of his moms with their different hairstyles. Like one of his moms just gets like a different like look like every single flashback. It's so fantastic. And I have to say, like, for a show that is aimed at kids, they do a remarkable job with like social tolerance. Like I can't ever remember seeing like there was like a same sex kiss, I think, in an episode of Clarence, and the fact that they just very nonchalantly have him with two moms, like, you know, Jeff has two moms, and that's like completely like nobody, you know what I mean? Like I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I can't wait for us to talk later on about Steven Universe, because I think that is one show that is very much breaking down boundaries, and Clarence does fall into that too, and hopefully later on we'll get to talk to somebody who has a lot of knowledge about Clarence, and looking forward to that. But so Spooky Boo, last episode of season one of Clarence, and it's an adorable episode where they,
I haven't seen that one yet, but I will watch it.
Oh yeah, you have to, because it's fun, because it kind of like, you know, you expect the kids to find either, you know, they stay out too late and so the bullies come and get them, or they end up in a haunted house or something like that, and it kind of falls into that, but there's a little bit more mystery tied to this one, and the resolution is really, it's enjoyable. So yeah, definitely check out Spooky Boo, and if you haven't watched any of Clarence, that is definitely something you should check out.
About the third, I guess, of the first season is on Hulu. And one of the interesting things about Hulu, I believe, is that all of their like kid shows, I think whether you have a premium account or not, I think are like commercial free. So If you haven't caught up on them and you don't subscribe to cable and can't go to adultswim.com, which also, or cartoonnetwork.com rather, which has a lot of them, there's a bunch of the episodes are on Hulu. So
and if we don't sell you this time, Christina and I will eventually sell you on Clarence.
We will eventually sell you on Clarence. Yeah, we will. Or just buy it on iTunes is honestly what I can say. Like, it's such a good show. Just buy it. Like,
it's well worth it. And
it's so worth it.
The artists behind it, you know, from, because I follow a few of them on Twitter, and by artists, I mean writers and illustrators, and they all are just so, they seem like such cool people, such down-to-earth
people.
They are,
and they're about our age. I mean, it's just, it's a great kind of, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Clarence and Rick and Morty.
All right, well, that wraps up our first episode, our pilot, so to speak.
So we thank you for bearing with us through this first one as we kind of let our brains jump from cartoon to cartoon. But as we continue along, of course, we will kind of focus more intently on specific shows and themes and things like that. Yeah, I guess we should tell everybody where they can find us when we're not here nerding out about cartoons. So, Christina, what are some other places on the web where people can find you?
Well, I'm film_girl on most social networks, Twitter, Instagram. I'm filmgirl, _ on Tumblr. And you can find me, I'm Christina on Vine and on Periscope. I don't really use those. And then you can find my work, my real life work on Mashable, where I'm a senior tech correspondent. And I do another podcast called Rocket on Relay FM and another one called Overtired.
Awesome. And as for me, you can find me at Micah Sargent on pretty much everything. My real life work is at Newsy. I am a senior editor at Newsy.com. And I also do a podcast called Integrate, which is a, of course, tech-focused podcast. So those are some of the other places. But one of the most important places you can find us is right here on The Incomparable, where we'll be talking about cartoons fortnightly.
And welcome to the inaugural episode of the Cartoon Cast with Christina and Micah. We are adults.
We are cartoon fans for both adult shows and, no, that's kind of weird because now it sounds like I'm saying like porno cartoons. Hentai, is that what it's called?
Oh my God.